And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We'll continue in our very short series on marks of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned last night that I was in conversation through messaging on the phone with somebody, and that person was speaking about heart religion and asked the question, how do we know when something is a true work of the Spirit? And I responded then, deep humility, boldness, Christ-centeredness, and abounding love. Of course, there are other things too, but those things are particularly biblical and things you can trace in the Scriptures and are classic marks of the blessing of the Holy Spirit, blessings of revival and a man being filled with the Spirit. And so we noted last night how humility, a profound humility, is a mark of when God blesses a heart, a brokenness. Then also, almost swinging to the other side of the pendulum, you could say, boldness is a mark of the Holy Spirit too. Before a man can preach or a Christian can witness with boldness, the Spirit must come to that man. The Spirit must first come before a man can preach in the Spirit with boldness. There is no boldness, true boldness, without that. There's presumption, there's bravado and posturing and performing, all those things, but not boldness as the Scripture understands it. Only that comes from the Holy Spirit. There are striking examples throughout the whole Scriptures. You only think of all the characters, the prophets. The prophets were all filled with the Spirit and had this boldness, and they all stand out for being bold, even though some of them might be timid in their characters. Not all of them were timid, but some were timid in their characters. And I'm sure they all feared, because it is human to be afraid in ourselves, but they were filled with bravery and power. Likewise, the apostles, we see the same with them. And even Christ himself was filled with the Spirit and without measure, and showed an anointing and a boldness in his humanity. Example, of course, we've read there is Isaiah. And there you see in Isaiah 6, verse 6, one of the seraphims flew. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And Spurgeon spoke of this passage and made rightly the point of men preaching, like Isaiah was a prophet, and preachers preaching with blistered lips, was the expression that Spurgeon chose. Blistered with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and speaking with an uncommon power, a power which comes from God himself and the Holy Spirit. We see this boldness, particularly with the disciples and the apostles, became the apostles, At first they are so timid, so weak. If they have any boldness, it is of the flesh, like with Simon Peter. But then we see something quite different. And it's shown particularly with Simon Peter. Denied the Lord 3 times. The next thing we see very soon, he's there. I cannot but speak, he says. And he's there before the Pharisees and boldly preaching the gospel. Let me just quote you some of the verses from Acts that speak of this God-given utterance and boldness. Acts 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4 verse 20, for we cannot but speak, this is Simon Peter of course, we cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. Then the same chapter in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so you see this trait, this mark of the Holy Spirit, this boldness, this power given to men in their hearts and with their lips as well, in their utterance. Man seems to be taken out of himself and given liberty and power, which is God-given. The same, of course, in the history books, if we can just refer to some and think of all the preachers since the coming of Christ. And there we see sometimes quite timid characters being strong and powerful. John Calvin was timid in nature, had to be persuaded to stay in Geneva. But then what a bold champion he was. And same with all of the preachers and the people too. How brave, how filled with the Spirit so many of them were. I'm reading this book, The History of the Calvinistic Methodist Fathers. There's 2 volumes and a very big book, and it takes me a long time to read through them. And halfway through the first volume, I'm coming across these unknown men who helped Roland and Harris and Williams and others. They were mostly lay preachers. Some were ordained, but many of them were lay preachers. And yet, ears of God. And a man called David Williams, I was reading of last night. He was from Tregaron. David Williams from Tregaron. And he was one of the helpers of Roland, converted through Daniel Roland. And then this man was asked to go to North Wales, and he was there in a village outside Wrexham. And there the account goes, he was in the house and a mob had come, were threatening the house, and they were the ruffians, you could say, of the area. They were a loutish lot and would have killed them. And they were there threatening the owners of the house and saying, unless you bring out this preacher, we will tear down the house brick by brick and demolish the house. And there they were surrounded. And David Williams, in the end, persuaded the owners to let him go out to them, to speak to them, which he did. And he left the house and went out to speak to them. And they were about to tear into pieces. And he spoke with just very strong words to them. And the strongness of the ruffians was impressed by it. And then he became his protector. Said, let him alone. We can't do harm to this man. But then what he did was he proceeded to preach to them and preached with liberty to these people who were sent to kill him, and with power and with great effect. Well, what can you say about such things? And these accounts are repeated time and time again. It is just quite remarkable. It makes you feel, this book, some books inspire you. This book is making me feel like a mouse, I must say. I'm feeling smaller and smaller as I go through the pages. But then I'm reminded it is God who made them what they were. And it is something which we long for. We see sometimes touches of this in our time. Not much, granted. But there are touches, are there not, in the pulpit where suddenly a preacher is taken out of himself and you know the Lord is here. It might be a faint echo of what could be. But we pray for more of this power of God. As Charles Wesley said, the powerful stamp I long to feel, the signature of love divine. And so we mark these matters. What happens when the Spirit comes on an individual or on a generation? And we know, don't we, from our fathers, some of us anyway, not all of us, some of us are quite young, I guess, but some of us are old enough to remember people who were quite bold. They were very broken and humble too, but they were strong and bold. And we can testify to that. And this is the project of the Holy Spirit. He creates generation of different people, of broken people, humble people on the one side, and on the other side, the same people, bold and powerful and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we shall see, God willing, tomorrow night, another feature, that Christ-centeredness is a trait of people and a generation who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll sing a hymn on that theme, and it's 1023. 1023. O Breath of Life, and Sharon will pitch for us again. Please stand.